Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 2nd, 2017. Well, the People's Climate March is history. The mobilization has happened. This past weekend, roughly 200,000 climate hawks gathered in Washington, D.C. and marched down Pennsylvania Avenue to let everyone know how important an issue climate change really and truly is. Now, I live in a small town about halfway between Providence, Rhode Island, and Boston, Massachusetts. And I was fortunate enough to catch a bus at about 11 o'clock Friday night and roll through the night down to Washington, D.C., arriving there at about, 7 or 8 in the morning. Somewhat groggy, no doubt, but we were there. And we wandered around the mall. It was beautiful early in the morning. It was actually quite open, not many people. But by 11:30 or so, the crowds had begun to gather, and we ended up at our staging place, which was just outside the Smithsonian's famous Air and Space Museum, which, by the way, if you've never seen, you must go. It's unbelievable. But anyway, put that aside. We were outside there at about 11:30. And of course, because of the size of the crowds, we then waited for about 2 hours to get going. It's a funny thing about these big marches is that they spend a lot of time waiting for the crowds to move, just the way things go. Anyway, it was fortunate that this very hot and sticky Washington, D.C. day, we were all waiting for 2 hours because it gave me the chance to wander around, introduce myself to various kinds of people, and basically ask them why they were in Washington, D.C. It's an interesting question, and I think you'll be interested to hear those answers. So what we'll do is just go right to some of the sound that I have. And the first is a couple of students from Salem State University, which is a little bit north of Boston, kind of where I work. So let's hear what they have to say. Okay, here we go.
Here we are about to start marching in a few minutes. I've had the good fortune of bumping into some great-looking students from Salem State. What's your name?
My name is Brendan.
Brendan and?
Vicky.
Brendan and Vicky, so tell me, why did you come to Washington, D.C. today?
Well, I am studying environmental biology with a focus in climate change, so this is very, very important to me, not only for the environment, but also I would like a job after college, which would be important, and also I like being active. I like being active in the political scene and everything, and I want to make a difference.
That's great. And Brendan, why did you come down?
My major at Salem State University is geography and a minor in geology. I came here kind of on an enthusiastic last-minute decision. I mean, I wanted to come here. I wasn't really sure, but now I'm here. I'm glad I'm here. I like to be out in the open. I love to meet new people. I love to try and make a difference as much as I can, and I like equality.
So. Absolutely. So did you come down on a bus last night? Did you drive down or what?
I came down on the bus from Salem State and left at 10 o'clock and got here at like 7:45 in the morning.
So did we, but you guys are so much younger. I'm a pretzel. You guys look like you're in good shape.
Fine.
Anyway, thank you very much for chatting. I really appreciate it.
So there you go. Couple of students from Salem State University making the place proud. Anyway, it was hot as blazes, as I may have said before, but we continued to hang around, and I had the good fortune to bump into Karen and Cindy from Wisconsin. Let's hear what they have to say.
So it is about 11:30, quarter of 12, hot as blazes here in D.C. We're outside the Air and Space Museum, right? We're all queued up. And I have met two young women sitting on the wall in the shade with great signs. And what's your name? What's your first name?
Karen.
And what county, what part of the country are you from?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Oh, my God. And you?
Cindy, also from Wisconsin.
So tell me, why did you come all the way? I came from Boston. Why did you come to Washington, D.C. today?
Everyone keeps asking. My grandchildren. I just feel like we got to do something so that there's something here for them that's good.
Completely legitimate. Completely agree. Why did you come? Do you have a...
The environment is where my heart is, and my children are where my heart is, and if I can be here, I need to be here. And it's energizing. It's hopeful.
Absolutely.
It's hopeful. It is.
What
if we don't do something, then we can't complain, right?
I was quoting before, I think it was Joan Baez was the one who said it was action is the antidote for despair.
Right? Oh, I like that.
What does your sign say?
My sign, actually, this is a sign from when I was here once before, and I didn't renew it. It says, Wisconsin, it's about stewardship and love for future generations.
That's great. And what does your sign say?
Mine says, it's got a picture of the earth on it, and it says, what I stand with is what I stand on.
Well said. Well, thank you very much for chatting.
You.
I really
thank
appreciate
you for
it.
Being here. Very cool.
So then I wandered back out into the street, or at least, you know, under some trees by the edge of the street, and I had the good fortune to bump into Nathan from Detroit and Anne from Chicago. Let's see what they had to say.
Anyway, it's still noontime. We're still preparing to go. It's still hot. We're outside the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
What's your first name?
Nathan.
And what part of the country are you from?
Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah. And what's your first name?
Anne.
And you from?
I'm from Chicago.
From Chicago. So the big question I'm asking is why are you here? Why are you all the way here from Detroit?
Well, there's, I guess in my mind, no more important issue than the planet, and nothing exists without that. So if you don't say something and do something, it's just going to get worse.
I agree with him. We have some great marches in Chicago, but I really wanted to be in the Capitol for this one. This is a Capitol problem.
Yes, I like that. A Capitol problem. Anyway, there you go. So I kept bumping around looking for likely people to chat up in the crowd of 200,000. And this next one is interesting. I bumped into Roger and Cindy from California. And in case it's not clear from our discussion, Roger had a hat on top of which was a wind turbine. It was about a foot tall, right? And it was just spinning happily away. And the entertaining thing was that the wind turbine itself was powered by a postage stamp size solar cell embedded in the top of the nacelle, I guess you would call it, of the little model. But they made some interesting points I'll come back to afterwards. But when you listen, they went and lobbied their congressman over the last week. And they make the point that you have to turn your marching feet into voting hands. But anyway, let's check in and hear what they have to say.
This is even better than I thought. All right.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're still waiting to go. We're in front of the Smithsonian. Sun's beating down, 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. What's your first name? What part of the country are you from?
I'm Roger, and I'm from Oceanside, California.
Whoa. You came all the way? And
yes.
You're...
I'm Cindy Davenport from Oceanside, California. We came to the March for Science last Saturday. And
for this March.
You stayed the full week. And
yes.
You checked out D.C. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we also went to our representative's office, and I gave them a presentation on why solar and wind are better than coal and oil.
So that begs the question. Since you're not, people listening to this can't see you. You're standing here with a hat, and on top of it is a little wind turbine about 1 foot tall spinning away, and it is being driven by
a photovoltaic panel on top of it.
On top of your hat?
So it's a solar-powered
wind
turbine.
So it's a little...
Fantastic. Going away. That is, so, did you make that point with the congressman?
Well, we didn't take it with us then, but we made the point that solar and wind are the 21st century energy options, not the 19th century options of coal and oil.
Yeah. And were you there also with
the UN? Yes, I certainly was. Yes. And we, Roger is a solar research scientist. That's been his whole career. And he's also helped to invent solar water heating systems for residential use. But he was working mostly in solar thermal, utility scale energy production. But so he's got a wide range of expertise, and that's why I won't let him retire. He needs to save the world.
One of the points that I keep making, and that you guys exemplify, is that marching is great, but you have to give your congressman a piece of your mind, right?
Yes.
You did that. You came here, talked to your client. Would you agree that that's very, very important?
Very important, and we also rally in front of our congressman's office every Tuesday morning. Since January.
In our local office in Vista.
That's great.
And it's starting to show. He's actually, changed some of his votes, changed some of his
This isn't Darrell Issa, is it?
It is.
It is. Because he
has a long way to go.
He got the fear of the Lord struck him. You two are personifications of who did that. That's fantastic. Anyway, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and we encourage everyone to check out what they can do on their own homes for producing their own energy, but also look into community choice energy. That is taking off in California and some other places, and that's great for renters. You can't put your own PV panels on your rental apartment, but you can become part of this, and the community choice energy then is the default. You can choose not to get your energy from a monopoly.
Thank you very much.
So that's pretty interesting. Cindy was talking about community choice aggregation, and of course, MCAN has been talking about the same thing for a while. I'll put into the links on the blog a half-hour video that Carol Oldham, our executive director, made on community choice aggregation, and a link to a recent podcast where we talked about the MCAN legislative priorities, which are to push for legislation guaranteeing easier access to solar power for renters and disadvantaged communities. So, great connection with Roger and Cindy. So there you go. Next up came TJ and Emily, who are transplanted Bostonians now living down in Virginia. But what was interesting is that Emily had on an Indivisible t-shirt. Of course, you may have heard of the Indivisible, a group that is organizing local action, and I stopped them to ask them about the connection between Indivisible and climate. So here you go.
So we're still in front of the Air and Space Museum, and what's your first name?
TJ.
CJ from?
From Arlington, Virginia, but I used to live in Boston.
And your name?
I'm Lee. I'm from Santa Barbara, California, but I used to live in Boston also.
Wow. So you have a shirt on that says Invisible Virginia District Number 8 and a climate sign. So I'm interested in what sort of connections. So the Indivisible group, what is the Indivisible group?
Indivisible is just, it's a very, very large group of people that basically just are formed to oppose Trump administration policies on very many fronts, including climate change. And it falls right in with the thing. It's basically, we don't want this man controlling our future and destroying the world and our social justice system and our Earth.
And so that sounds like a pretty good justification for being on here on a hot...
Absolutely, Sunday. And I think it's pretty ironic and fitting that it be this hot. In April.
Well, they were predicting record-breaking temperatures for this today, and the whole point about climate change is every year the planet is hotter than it has been the year before for the past 25 or so years now, and Trump's climate policies are guaranteed to accelerate that process.
Very kind to call them policies.
Good point. Although every now and again, so for example, yesterday's announcement about planning to open up more offshore oil and gas development is devastating to the environmental movement because, if you don't keep it in the ground, if you bring it out and you burn it, and you increase CO2 levels, and we're up at 400 parts per million already, we're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
We're screwed.
Well, thank you very much for taking a moment to chat. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ted.
So as I remember it, it was way too hot standing in the middle of a sidewalk chatting, so I retreated back into the shade of the Air and Space Museum, and there, standing at the edge of the, you know, sitting on sort of a stone wall kind of thing, I got to talk to Dale and Cody from Virginia.
Hello.
So here we are, still outside the Smithsonian, and your name is what?
I'm Gail.
Gail from?
From Virginia.
From Virginia, and your name is?
I'm Gail's son, Cody, and I'm also from Virginia.
From Virginia. You have a lovely sign here.
Thank you. Tell me
what the sign is.
It's the Lorax. It says, unless, you know, the Dr. Seuss
famous
story.
Absolutely. The Lorax stands with the trees.
Yes.
That's a great sign. So tell
me,
is that connected up to why you're here and why you're here?
It is. I am privileged in that I live close to the Potomac River. And after work, I have friends that I get to go kayaking with. And we have started needing to bring trash bags with us. And as we kayak, we have to pick up other people's garbage. So much plastic in the river. It's horrible. So we pick up trash, we paddle down to an island, we watch eagles and osprey, and there's a beaver and deer, fox, I mean, all kinds of wildlife that are also having to live among the garbage. And people need to just be aware of the single-use plastic.
That's a big, big issue.
Absolutely.
And so, Cody, why are you here?
Well, I would like to live in a world where I can actually live and not just have to wear a hazmat suit 24/7, you know?
Well, that is a good aspiration. I think I'm here to make sure you don't have to wear a hazmat suit as well.
Yeah,
we're on the same team.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you very much both for chatting. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy your day.
Oh, yeah. Stay cool.
So, this next snippet is interesting, but more interesting about Ted, me, as an example of sort of American obliviousness. Anyway, I'm sitting there in the sun, you know, and again, very hot, and people walking back and forth, but across in front of my view walks a family, and the mother and the teenage daughter are dressed in Islamic garb. And I looked it up, and I guess it's a niqab, which is a whole face covering thing, beautiful, silk, very pretty. But of course, I said, oh my God, I have to interview these people. And everyone's stopping them to take photographs. So I jump up to sort of approach them. And of course, the question in my head was, what statement are you making by wearing this this niqab to a climate protest? And of course, as I was asking the question, all of a sudden I realized, cha-ching, cha-ching, that didn't matter at all. The question is, why was she there? So you can maybe hear in my voice when the klaxon started to ring in my head and I try to wheel a question, I ask Allah's forgiveness for my stupidity. But it's very interesting, and I'll read the quote from the Quran afterwards. But really, I mean, it's pretty cool. So here you go.
So we're still in front of the Air and Space Museum. Very hot day. And what's your first name?
Nabiya.
And where are you from? What part of the country?
Philadelphia.
So, can you tell me how you're dressed and why you, mostly why you're here today? That's what I've been asking everyone. Why are you here today?
Well, I'm here today because of climate change, and I'm truly concerned in the way the direction of Earth is heading. And I truly believe that we as people, we need to get together and just try to fix things. You know, stop littering, recycling more, and even just using different fuel fossils and things of that nature.
Fantastic. And what does your sign say?
It says, eat and drink from the gifts of Allah and do not commit harm on the earth.
That's great. That's fantastic. Right. Thank you very much for taking
the
time to chat. Really, truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So all the topics brought up by that interaction are worthy of their own podcast. God knows. But anyway, so it turns out the quote from the Quran is chapter 2, verse 60, and it says, and recall when Moses prayed for water for his people. So we said, we I presume meaning God, we said, strike with your staff the stone, and there gushed forth from it 12 springs, and every people knew its watering place. Eat and drink
from the provision of Allah and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption. So, I don't know. Pretty cool. There you go. What can I say? So then we were back in line and we were seemed like we were about ready to march. And I turned around and behind the section the Massachusetts group was in were a bunch of people from Utah. So, of course, I had to march myself over to Utah to find out what was going on over there. And let me play some sound I got from a young woman I spoke to in the Utah delegation.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh,
he was
right.
At the
I'm never on.
So, again, I came down to a group of folks with Utah signs. And what's your name?
I'm Jen Ujafusa. I'm with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance.
And why? What brings you to D.C. to march for climate on this hot day?
Well, so we are an organization that works full-time on protecting the incredible remaining wildlands in Southern Utah. These are public lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management. They belong to all Americans. They belong to all your friends in Massachusetts. And we have a bill in Congress to try to protect these lands permanently as wilderness. And wilderness is a status where you just leave the land in its natural state. You leave it alone. You certainly don't drill it for fossil fuels. And so protecting places as wilderness helps mitigate climate change. It creates resiliency. And we're just here in solidarity with, you know, all our friends trying to do the same thing all over the world.
So say again the organization so people can look it up and find out more about it.
Sure. It's the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. It's SUWA, SUWA.org. And I just want to give a shout out to the Massachusetts senators, Senator Markey and Senator Elizabeth Warren, because both of your senators are already co-sponsors of America's Red Rock Wilderness Act. That's the bill we have in Congress. So they're great champions for you guys.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. I really appreciate
it. Sure, thank you.
So just after speaking with Jen, the line actually began to move, and we all marched from the Smithsonian. I don't know if you know the layout of D.C., but we went from the Smithsonian up by the Capitol, took a left, walked across the front of the Capitol, took another left, and walked up Pennsylvania Avenue towards the White House. It was so hot, I sort of lost the energy to try and interview people. So we marched along, we went down, we went by the White House, we ended up by the Washington Monument. They had some great music playing, and it's very pleasant. Then we drifted off, got back to our bus, and I finally, about 9 o'clock at night, as we were at a rest stop someplace on the Jersey Turnpike, had the chance to chat with one of my bus mates, a young man named John. Let's hear what he has to say.
So it's after the event, it's about 9 o'clock at night, we're at a rest stop on the Jersey Turnpike waiting to head out, and I'm speaking with, what's your first name?
I'm John.
John, where are you, what town are you from?
I'm from North Attleboro.
North Attleboro. So tell me, why did you take time to ride on a miserable bus for 20 hours to go to Washington, D.C. today?
Yeah. I work in solar, and I'm real concerned about the environment, and I think the Trump administration, everything they've done is wrong, and I just couldn't stand for it, so it's worth it to come down.
So what did you experience? What was it like? I mean, did it meet your expectations? Was it fun? Was it something you'd recommend?
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to make an impact?
I would recommend. I don't know if it'll make an impact. I think it will. There was a lot of people, and it was pretty powerful. Yeah. And we were walking down, like, you can see the Capitol building. You know, we saw the White House. It was pretty. I've never even been to D.C. really before.
Really?
So it was pretty powerful for me. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend it. And I had a lot of fun. It was a little hot. That's all right.
It was very hot. Very hot. Yeah, but it was. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So there you go. There's my report from the People's Climate Mobilization. I want to thank everyone who was gracious enough to chat with me. It was entertaining for me, educational, always fun. If you ever get a chance to go to a climate march, which I hope you will, you really should. It's a hoot. I mean, it's just a hoot. Anyway, we'll put it down there. I'll put up links to what we talked about at the blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find this posting on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, iTunes. You can get us on Google Play nowadays if you have an Android. There you go. I'm going to close
just after we had passed the Trump Hotel, there were a bunch of Hare Krishnas on the sidewalk chanting away. So I'll put that in for your entertainment after we close out. But we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.